So a few weeks from now, I want to pick up where we left off in Mark's Gospel and use that to take us toward Easter. So there'll be a few messages leading up to Easter there. But today we're going to focus on Psalm 13. Next Sunday, Ben and Amy Eady from Mission Aviation Fellowship will be here with the missions presentation. On the 17th, we'll look at another psalm. And then we'll look at returning to the Gospel of Mark toward the end of the month, Lord willing. I'd like us to begin, though, by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so, Lord, we thank you for this new year that you've given us, and new opportunities, and new things to look forward to. We thank you for the past year, and we know there's been times of difficulty, there's been times of blessing, and we thank you for bringing us through, and we ask now for your help with this new year too, Lord, that we would benefit from the many blessings that you will bring, that you'll give us strength through times that are tougher. And so we just commit it to you, Lord, and we thank you that you are traveling with us through each thing, each experience we have, each encounter that we have, Lord, you're there, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this past year, for the ministries that have been going on here in our church and other churches in the community. Thank you so much for those who lead and serve and reach out in so many various ways. Thank you too for our missionaries in various countries around the world. And we just pray especially this morning for Mary Kay in Benin, Africa, and as she's contracted some malaria. And we just pray for her for health and healing there, Lord. And we continue to pray for those in need that are listed in our bulletin, and we pray especially for Joan Cooney again this morning, and just pray for your healing power and your encouragement, and that this would be a year of blessing, Lord, for her and for each one. So we commit all these things to you, Lord, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like you to turn with me to the middle section of your Bibles and to the book of Psalms, and to Psalm 13 in particular. Now, Psalm 13 may not be all that familiar to you. It's a very short psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's just 6 verses, and you may actually miss it as you're going through Psalms. And it's also a psalm of lament. A psalm of lament. It's a personal expression of grief, and it's a prayer for help to God. And if you're familiar with psalms, you know there's different kinds. There's at least 6 different types of psalms in the Psalter. There's psalms of thanksgiving, there's psalms of praise, there's wisdom psalms, there's psalms of trust. But there's also these psalms of lament, which are actually the most common type. There's over 60 psalms of lament in the Psalter. And these psalms were written to express the distress and the suffering that the people of Israel often felt in their day. But God also put these psalms in the Bible for us as well. They're there to help us express our struggles and our sufferings, our disappointments, but also, and maybe most importantly, to help us to relate honestly to God about our feelings and to lead us to consider His ways. Well, I would guess that we would usually want to start the new year on a real positive note, you know, something really uplifting in that. So why would I start the first Sunday of the new year with a lament? Well, maybe we'll see that it's not really such a bad place to start from. So Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Well, I brought this box of Kleenex this morning along, not because I have the sniffles, not because I think I'm going to cry necessarily, but I brought it because it's something we don't see in church as much anymore, except maybe in the nursery. I find that in many churches today, there's a kind of a subtle or maybe even not so subtle message that says, don't cry. Because when you do, you feel uncomfortable, and we wouldn't want anyone to feel uncomfortable, right? There's a spirit among us that seems to say that crying and lamenting are signs of saying that signs that say we have a weak faith. If you're strong in your faith, you don't cry, right? Well, the message seems to be often that we shouldn't be uncomfortable. Christians should always be happy and upbeat. Our songs of worship should be happy and upbeat too. And we enjoy that, and it's good to do that. But Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament. And laments tend to make us feel uncomfortable. There's a reason for that. These psalms say things that we're not sure should even be said out loud, especially in church. They touch on the pain that's inside us, a pain that we don't always often want to bring out or deal with. But the laments are a part of God's inspired word. And they're a big part of the Psalms. And they're there to give us permission to lament. Something we need to do sometimes. Now, of course, we would much prefer the uplifting Psalms like Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. We love that. And we should. And sometimes we just assume that that's what the Psalms are all about. That's what Psalms should be. And so these Psalms of lament have often become the neglected Psalms. We tend to skip over them because they're a bit uncomfortable. Like Psalm 10 begins, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself from me in times of trouble?" When was the last time you prayed a prayer like that? Or like Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's pretty uncomfortable. Should a believer even pray that one out loud? Why have you forsaken me? Well, maybe you remember one who did pray that psalm out loud on one Friday afternoon from a cross. Or Psalm 42. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. There's a lot of tears in these Psalms. In Psalm 88, one of the bleakest, "Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" So these are real down-to-earth Psalms here. There's a lot of crying here, which is probably the reason they're such neglected Psalms. Now, unfortunately, we might feel that it is a sign of weakness or a lack of faith somehow if we really lament before God. So churches sometimes become places where people are in denial about their pain. They cover up the pain that's inside of them. Somehow they feel we should always be singing upbeat choruses. Never any tears. Why? Because we're strong people. We're victorious people, right? Well, yes, but the truth is we actually need these laments because we are not always strong people. And there is a lot of pain in life. Physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, your pain, my pain, pain of people all around us. It's there. And the reason that we need these laments is not so we can be crybabies. We need them because it's the only way for us to be honest with God. When bad things happen, how can we be honest with God if all we sing are praise songs? When sickness occurs or a loved one is stricken, How can we be honest to God and yet never lament? So we actually need the laments for the integrity of our Christian faith. They help us to be real. God wants us to be real. And we also need these psalms because there's something therapeutic about them. They're there for our use. And I think we'd actually be healthier if we didn't bottle up our pain, but we had the freedom to come to church, to come to communion with a box of Kleenex. Well, Psalm 13 is it's full of kind of harsh and uncomfortable words. We may wonder why this psalm should even be in the Bible. Words like, "Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Does this writer have no faith? Well, Psalm 13 is a psalm of David. I mean, the great warrior king of Israel here, a man who was a man after God's own heart, and the forefather of Jesus. And he was no wimp. He was no crybaby. And yet he wrote a lot of laments. Why? Because he knew how to be honest with God. Now, we don't know the exact circumstances that led him to write this particular psalm here. There's no particulars in it. We know he faced a lot of trials in his life, but he didn't detail it. And maybe that's a good thing, because it actually allows us to read our own circumstances into this psalm. You or I or anyone else can actually adopt this psalm as our own personal cry to the Lord. And that's really what it's there for. It's not a nice polished psalm. It's kind of ragged. It's down to earth, especially the opening verses. But if you read these words and apply them in your own experience here, you'll understand where laments originate from. Bible teacher Howard Vanderwell says laments come from five sources. First of all, of course, they come from pain. And pain is what gives rise to laments when life isn't what we wanted it to be, when life takes unexpected turns and there's disappointments. So it comes from that. Laments are also caused by delays. And we know about delays, like when pain doesn't go away. Day after day, month after month, even year after year. How long, O Lord? Now, I'm not trying to make you depressed here, but I know that many have experienced this. When the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, they cried out to God for how long? For 430 years. And it just didn't change. Not until God moved and brought them out in the Exodus. Through 40 chapters in the book of Job, Job cries out and it just didn't change. In fact, it got worse until God broke in. Apostle Paul, he cried out because of that thorn in the flesh. And he called it a messenger of Satan because it just didn't change. So what about you? What circumstance in your life just doesn't seem to change? It could be an extended illness, something in your health that just seems to go on, and you don't know where it's going to take you. It could be a temptation that won't leave you alone and just comes again and again. It could be an addiction that you can't shake. It could be a relational issue that just never seems to get settled. And so you wrestle with it, and you pray about it, you ask about it, but it just goes on and on. How long, O Lord? Which brings us to the third cause of laments here, which is unanswered prayer. And I know sometimes we say, or we kind of almost make light of it, and we say, well, God always answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and other times he just says, wait a while. And that's true, but when the pain goes on and on, those prayers feel unanswered, like God isn't listening. And maybe that's what David is wrestling with here. I mean, God seems absent here. Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So maybe you felt that too. Maybe you are feeling it. And if not, there'll probably come a time when you will. No doubt you know someone who is feeling that way. And you know, when you're in that situation for a while, you even begin to wonder if it's worth praying about anymore. But the real question for us here is, can you be honest enough to admit that? To admit how you feel? To tell God how you feel? Completely honestly. Because you know what? It's okay to do that. It's okay to lament. There's a place for that. And that brings us to the fourth reason for lament here, which is a sense of abandonment. It's when you know in your head and you know from Scripture that God never abandons His own. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And I think David knew that too. But you don't necessarily always feel that. David was one who was in touch with his feelings. There's times when what you know in your mind is not experienced in your emotions, and so you feel abandoned. It feels like you're all on your own. And so David asked the Lord specifically here. He said, how long will you hide your face from me? And that's a phrase we hear a lot in the Psalms, a question that comes up several times here. You see, the Israelites believed that when the face of the Lord was turned toward you, that it was a sign of His blessing and favor. And the worst thing that could happen to you is for the Lord to turn His face away from you. And that's how they described it. That idea goes all the way back to Numbers chapter 6, where when God tells Moses to tell Aaron to bless the people of Israel. It's what we call the Aaronic blessing. And it's that benediction that we hear quite often. It was actually on the back of our Christmas Eve bulletin that you have heard before. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. This is where it comes from. And you know, there's no greater blessing than to have the Lord turn His face toward you. But in Psalm 13, David struggles here with this sense of abandonment here, that God's face is turned away from him and he will no longer experience blessing and favor. And that's his great fear. And it's that fear that can actually lead to the fifth cause of lament here. It's the doubts that start to creep into our mind. David says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? You see, when what you know in your mind is not felt in your feelings or your experience, it does lead you to ask some heavy questions. Questions of doubt. Is the Bible really true? Does God truly love me? Does prayer work? Is the whole thing a hoax? Well, David admits that there's some disturbing realities that we live with in this world here, and sometimes it's hard. It's hard even for the children of God sometimes. There's no quick and easy answers to many of these things. But we have to look at what David does. See, David doesn't just cover it up, doesn't pretend it's not there. He doesn't cover up his pain or his disappointment or his feelings of abandonment or his doubt. He freely expresses his soul before God. He's honest with God about how he feels. And that really is the purpose of the laments. And times when we need them too. Times when it's okay to have a box of Kleenex in church. But you know what? That's not where we stay. We don't stay there. We may go through that, but we don't stay there. We don't stop with lament. We need to actually go beyond lament. It's a step along the way. We go beyond, and that's exactly what David does here too. He calls God to turn and look at him, to turn his face to him, and to give light to his own eyes so that David is looking at God and God is looking at David face to face. And even though David has been weeping and he's been arguing with God, and all of a sudden here he catches himself. But, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. There's a sudden change of focus. So what do you do after you lament? You experience healing. Howard Vanderwell, again, he says, a religion that forces us to bottle up our pain and tears does not produce health and healing. He says, a religion that gives us the right to come before God openly and candidly with our lament is a religion that's capable of bringing God's healing to our spirits. So we need to be honest with God when we're dealing with stuff, going through things. You probably noticed in your own human relationships that you're closer to people who share with whom you share your deepest thoughts and pains with. And it actually is the same with God in our relationship with Him. It will be deeper and will be closer when we're really willing to be honest with Him. Tell Him like it is, like we feel it. And there's actually a healing that comes by just being honest with God. And if it comes out of us in a harsh or a ragged way with desperate words, that's okay. God can handle it. But it's not where we stay. After we express our lament, we do what David says here. We trust in God's unfailing love. So Christian lament is never an expression of wanting to walk away from God. That's not what it is. We may complain, we may question, we may argue with Him, but we're not walking away. Lament is actually an affirmation of our trust in God. We're still talking to Him. We believe in Him. We don't understand, but we trust Him. We trust in His love for us through Jesus, who gave His life for us. And so our circumstances often may not make too much sense, but our hearts can still rejoice in our salvation. And we have a lot to look forward on that account. David's circumstances may not have changed, but his focus changed. He had a new perspective, and it made all the difference. What he did was he chose to interpret his circumstances by God's love rather than interpret God's love by his circumstances. Turned it around. Or as Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So the real test of our faith is not when God seems closest and when His presence seems most real to us. It's actually when God seems most distant. And there are times like that. And the question is, will we seek Him? Will we be like David and not give up? And just cast ourselves upon Him. This month, I've been reading an old novel by Daniel Defoe. Some of us read it when we were younger, The Story of Robinson Crusoe. And, you know, we kind of think it's just a story about a guy who was cast away on a desert island, but it's actually a spiritual journal. And Crusoe's alone and he feels abandoned on this island by God and by man, and he's afraid for his life and he's anxious. And though he's stuck on this island for many, many years, he begins to realize in it that God is there and is meeting all his needs. His situation doesn't change for a long, long time, but through it, God is becoming more and more real to him. teaching him and equipping him and providing for him, caring for him each day. And he begins to see that. And more he realizes that, like David says at the end of the psalm here, that God has been good to him. And I know at times we may feel like we have been cast away. And so God puts these laments in the Bible to help us to commune with him. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, we can cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. So David's lament here in Psalm 13 actually gives us permission to enter into a deeper and more intimate relationship with God and to be really honest with him. And to help us to realize that God accepts that it's okay when we express our doubts, even our anger. And when we're honest with God, we're actually already on the path to healing. So whatever pain you're facing, whatever lament is in your heart, bring it before God and before his unfailing love. And though we may have some tears, we can go into this new year, as David says, singing of God's goodness. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to finish with a prayer as they do that. Heavenly Father, we know that you are a God who is greater, who is bigger than our doubts and our tears. A God who's greater than our pains and our fears. And so we thank you today for your unfailing love and for your goodness to us. Help us to go into this new year trusting you and knowing that you truly are with us on the journey. Amen.
This next song fits the message so well, and though we don't usually sing it congregationally, we will today.